Hi, I'm Sylvia Gorajek, the founder of America Unlocked. Welcome to my immigration story, a tale of perseverance, unexpected turns, and ultimately triumph. What you'll hear about is a 12-year odyssey through the American immigration system that tested our resolve, drained our savings, and ultimately taught us invaluable lessons about navigating the complex world of self-sponsored visas. I'm sharing this deeply personal journey with all its heartbreaks and victories, because I know firsthand how isolating and overwhelming this process can feel. Every visa denial, every lawyer consultation, every moment of uncertainty shaped not just our path to citizenship, but also my passion for helping others avoid the same pitfalls. This is why I founded America Unlocked, to create the resource I desperately needed during those challenging years. As you hear about our roller coaster ride, remember that your journey doesn't have to be as difficult. I strongly recommend you consider applying to join to America Unlocked to get the support and practical knowledge I wish I had. And let's navigate your self-sponsored visa journey together with fewer tears and more confidence. Now, grab a cup of coffee and settle in. This story has its tough moments, but I promise a happy ending. My husband and I arrived in the US in 2012 on a tourist visa. Having visited America several times before, during our stay we decided to explore options for legalizing a more permanent way to remain and contribute to America's economy. Our visa journey could be described as the hard way, without a job offer or a family sponsorship. Simply put, no one invited us to the US. We relied solely on our foreign business and artistic experience producing commercial films in Poland, as well as on our motivation and goal-oriented mindset. Was there a visa route for us? If we started a company, would we qualify for a visa? We had countless questions and desperately sought someone to help us answer them. San Jose, California, November 2012. The first calls to a recommended Polish lawyer were a miss. She said she didn't see a way. She specialized in family visas, so maybe she didn't know, I thought. The second call to another lawyer in San Francisco also saw no path for us. Both consultations were paid. Lawyers charge around $300 to $400 for 60 minutes of conversation. Additionally, phone conversations were a challenge. We were new in the US. Not only was a significant part of my American vocabulary completely foreign to us, but also legal terms were a beast. During many conversations, we tried to be together, sharing the phone, one of us talking, the other taking notes, and then we analyzed everything together. Another call to a recommended business visa lawyer from New York. He says, "A tough case. One of you would have to be employed by a well-established company in the US, and both parties would have to meet specific conditions." We didn't know any entrepreneurs. We didn't want to force ourselves to work for someone else and be dependent. We wanted to make our own films and commercials. We only met small business owners, other filmmakers who did not really qualify to sponsor an H-1B or EB-3 visa. After a few weeks, we ended up with a firm San Francisco that saw the only chance in the E-2 visa, the so-called investment visa. According to them, it would involve investing tens of thousands of dollars in a new company in the US producing commercials. "But we don't have tens of thousands of dollars for something like that," we replied. "It's not just cash that counts, but also company equipment. Besides the investment, you also need a good business plan. Come back to us with one. $2,000 of advance returner fee and go." Business plan. Ugh. How do you write an American business plan? That's several weeks of intensive work on the plan itself. We don't have time for that while being in the US on a tourist visa. The clock is ticking, and we need to make more contacts and develop an action plan. We post an ad on Craigslist. For some reason, probably the price, we ended up choosing what turned out to be a forest man from Santa Cruz. Gosh, we were running around like headless chickens. He lived in a cluttered apartment near the ocean. But he was American, and he seemed to know what he was talking about. He proposed a plan and an overall outline. A month passes, the business plan is written. All Polish papers related to the transfer of investment are collected and prepared for translation. But suddenly, the law firm goes silent. Time is running out, an email arrives. Upon further analysis, we find that this is not a strong enough case for an E-2 visa. We don't see clear chances of getting it. And generally, good luck. We couldn't believe it and got hot flashes. The law firm ignored us after almost 2 months of cooperation. In 2 more months, our tourist visa expires. And then what? They returned part of the payment, but we still had wasted money and valuable time. So the E2 visa is not suitable? They knew all the data up front. The whole job was just to put them together. How come all of a sudden we're not eligible? We shook it off. All we could do is to look for another lawyer and yet another way. Through a Facebook recommendation, we learned about the O1 visa for individuals with extraordinary abilities, a promising option for Cuba's filmmaking career in the US. The O1 is granted to individuals with special artistic, sports, scientific, or business achievements on a national or international level. That's something new. We dive deeper, and indeed, it seems promising. Maybe it's not a straightforward path, but if we submit evidence of Cuba's commercial film projects from Poland, well, then maybe? Why didn't the previous lawyers mention this, knowing Cuba's career history? The next day, we're on a search for an O1 visa lawyer. After consulting with Sunit, a Los Angeles lawyer who charged $4,000 for the entire application, we began the intense process of gathering documents, recommendation letters, and proof of Cuba's achievements. Sunit said, Cuba has a strong case and that if we push hard, we will make it in 2 months. We wanted to send the application while still in the USA so that in case of a refusal, we could appeal and stay here. Technically, it was a change of status, not a visa. Meanwhile, we would expand our contacts and get to know the market and industry. However, despite Sunit's super speedy response rate, we didn't make it within 2 months. The tourist visa expired, and we returned to Poland to rest financially and mentally while continuing to work on the application. Loads of work, almost daily. We gathered thousands of recommendation letters from film and TV experts and, unbelievably, from the director Agnieszka Holland, the Polish Oscar nominee herself. She responded to our request for support. Communication with Ms. Holland was one of the most pleasant experiences, and she probably understood our pain and efforts the best. Many others in the industry were afraid to sign a recommendation letter for us. They didn't want to deal with the American Immigration Office. After 4 months in Poland, the application was ready. Sunit sends it in an expedited mode, which costs an additional $1,500. Otherwise, we would have to wait for a decision for up to 6 months. After 2 weeks, a letter arrives saying USCIS needs more evidence. They don't recognize the expertise presented in the recommendation letters. In other words, the authors of the letter are not sufficiently qualified. How is that possible? Oscar-nominated Agnieszka Holland is not a sufficient expert? And the television networks, institutions, other filmmakers, they also questioned a few other pieces of evidence. We update and supplement the application. Meanwhile, the Depeche Mode concerts in the USA, for which we bought tickets long ago, were coming up. Determined not to miss the concerts, we decided to fly back to the US as tourists. While in the USA, we sent a response to the request for evidence while pulling our hair out. What if they denied us? Every day, with a heavy heart, we checked the status online. And indeed, there it came. Denial. We were totally depressed. This meant that we had only a few more months on a tourist visa, not to mention continuously investing money into our stay without eligibility to work. Sunit claimed that there was nothing else he could do. So much time, so much work. We were working on this for about a year at that point, and now what? There must be a way. Maybe Sunit was not a good lawyer after all. Giving up was not an option. In panic, we looked for yet another lawyer. San Francisco, California, December 2013. A new firm from San Francisco suggested the L1 visa for managers who are being transferred to US company branches, a solution no one had mentioned before. Per the lawyer's suggestion, since we had a company in Poland, we could transfer Cuba to the US to open a new branch of the company. That sounded logical. Why hadn't anyone told us about this earlier? Having paid yet another $2,000 retainer down payment, we started working on the basics for the L1 application with this new law firm. Meanwhile, the printed denial decision for the O1 application arrived. We couldn't believe our eyes. The refusal concerned many more aspects than Sunit had told us. He simply hid part of the immigration office arguments from us. We realized that some objections could have been easily addressed. Why hadn't Sonnet told us about them? Didn't he know we would receive our own copy? I called Sonnet and accused him of fraud. He defended himself, saying it wouldn't have changed anything, but immediately agreed to work for free on further improvements in the application and submitting it again. This time, I knew exactly how to fix several arguments. Sonnet implemented the corrections and everything started to come together. After a month, we got the approval for O1. I was sobbing that whole evening. We got the status change for O1 for 2 years. We couldn't leave the US without losing it, as it was only a status change, not a visa in the passport, but it gave us plenty of time to grow our network and look for another way. Kubat partnered with a local filmmaker and we could cover our living costs in the US. Redwood City, California, April 2013. Meanwhile, my mobile app idea, Spray, took off in Silicon Valley. We found a partner, developed a concept, established a company, got the first $100,000 investment from Netflix co-founder, but needed a new visa to work for it. The O1 visa status assumed a different type of activity and only applied to Cuba. In order for us to be able to work in our new startup, we needed a different visa. Jeez. We kept checking our status in the visa lottery. Not selected. Since I was running a pretty popular blog about making a start in the US, at least a dozen people wrote to us asking for advice because they'd won green cards and didn't know if it was worth moving to the US. My heart dropped again. After all, 6 months after getting the O1, we started working on the EE2, ironically, an investment visa. This time, Spray perfectly met the conditions. Investment money, hired American employees, an office, etc. The visa holder could only work in Spray, and the spouse could work anywhere. So it was enough if the visa was only for one of us. It fell on Cuba. With the proper E2 visa in the passport, we could travel. The downside? E2 would only be granted for 1 year. If we left the US, the visa expired, requiring reapplication. Challenging, but our only option to develop Spray. Our investment advisor recommended another firm from San Francisco. Compared to the torment of previous applications, this felt like a piece of cake. All our documents were ready and in English. We prepared and submitted the application within 2 months. Our business partner flew to Warsaw for an embassy interview and got the E2 within 5 minutes. Poland, January 2015. This was our first visit to Poland since 2013. Incidentally, we arranged an office for the Polish Spray team in Warsaw and had a nationwide TV appearance in the morning show Dzień dobry TVN. We went to the embassy and there, the consul questioned Cuba's visa eligibility. They needed up to 7 days to think and make a decision. We couldn't believe it. I was sick to my stomach. Every day, several times with a heavy heart, we checked the online system status to see if we could return to the US. After 3 days of mental torment, we checked again. It was there. Granted, we counted our blessings and returned to the US as planned. Meanwhile, less than a year passed and Spray fell apart as we got screwed by the business partner. We mourned and moved on. A lot had happened, but that's another story. San Francisco, January 2016. Soon, inspired by the turn of events, I started the talk show Valley Talks. I also began working at Apple and Cuba immediately launched a new startup, Unstock. And once again, a new visa was needed. The current one was for Spray. Still, no luck in the visa lottery. Lucky winners checked in with us. They were selected and wanted to know what we were doing with our lives. Apple wouldn't sponsor my visa, but Unstock quickly gained traction. With investment from Poland and employees in place, everything looked perfect again. Cuba worked on a new visa application with the same firm we used for Spray, since that process had gone relatively smoothly. After about 6 months, it was at the end of the application process. Meanwhile, I transitioned from Apple to Netflix. Suddenly, we experienced a nightmare déjà vu. The immigration lawyer, during the preparation of the papers, said we probably would end up not qualifying for the E2 visa. He suggested that we return to Poland and apply for something like a student visa from there. What the heck? We had paid a $5,000 advance, time was extended due to his fault, and now we were hearing it was a hopeless case? It had to be a joke. We had been living in the US for over 3 years, renting the same house for 2 years. I was working at Netflix, Kuba's startup was growing, and supposedly there was no chance for us, and we had to pack up. Oh, and another year had passed, and we missed the visa lottery again. Time was running out. With tears in my eyes, I called the only contact we had left, the Polish lawyer from New York. I begged him to take our case. Initially, we worked on changing Kuba's status to E2 for Unstock. This was the kind of permit that would allow us to legally stay without flying back to Poland. But luck was not on our side again. A denial letter arrived in the mail, saying we had 14 days to leave the US. We couldn't believe our eyes. I switched to survival mode, focused on making it through one day at a time. Poland, February 2017. The next step was to fly to Poland, submit a similar application at the US Embassy in Warsaw, and apply for the proper visa. Status change applications are reviewed by a different office than those submitted at embassies, so there was a chance for a more positive outcome. If we didn't get the visa in Poland, it would take us several months to apply again. We terminated our house lease, sold the furniture, and rented a storage space for the remaining items. We moved out. What choice did we have? If we got stuck in Poland for half a year, we couldn't afford housing costs back in the US. We arrived in Poland in February 2017. We didn't know how the embassy visit would go. Dzień Dobry TVN, the morning show, proposed another TV studio visit, but unfortunately it coincided with our embassy appointment. With heavy hearts, we went to the interview. We were received by Daniel Getach, consul general famous for owning the diplomatic Fiat 126P. I praised him for his cheerful pink jacket and admitted I had an invitation to the morning show at the same time. Mr. Daniel smiled and said he had recently been on the same morning show too. We chatted about television, the blog, until finally, the consul general told us Kuba's visa was granted. What a relief! Tears came to my eyes. Was it a dream or reality? We could return. San Carlos, April 2017. We looked for an apartment again, bought furniture, and started over. But now, it was pure pleasure. Initially, we were shocked by the gigantic rent increases, about 1,000 more per month than just 3 months ago. Luckily, we found a wonderful apartment on the hills. We started again. I continued Valley Talks and returned to my roots by producing commercials for startups, and meanwhile, Unstock began receiving acquisition offers. At the same time, something completely unexpected was happening. It turned out to be something we least expect. Valley Talks and everything related to it, press interviews, presentations and conferences, and being on the jury in Silicon Valley, met the conditions for a green card for me. Additionally, my role at Netflix, where I oversaw Netflix's readiness for the launch in Poland, fulfilled another major requirement. The green card would allow us to work and travel legally without restrictions, and after 5 years, we could apply for citizenship. Sounds like a dream! A lawyer from Miami was recommended to us. He confirmed that it would be a strong application in the EB1A category, employment-based immigration, which doesn't require an employer or sponsor. Known as the Emmy Award in Immigration, it sounded impressive, and the application itself was quite something. It was a several hundred page book about your achievements from recent years. This gave us hope for a green card. A passion project and hobby would finally solve this years-long unequal visa battle. Out of curiosity, I asked our previous lawyer from New York City, the one who helped us fight the last battle for the E2 visa, if he thought I had a chance for a green card this way. He replied, "Absolutely not. That's for really outstanding people." I sometimes wonder what would have happened if he had been the only person I asked. What if I hadn't received that second recommendation? Luckily, after 5 years of experience, we were wiser and still pushed forward. Preparations for the application lasted about 4 months. It was an intense period of gathering evidence, documents, recommendation letters, and digging through archives. We submitted the EB1A application in May 2017. Meanwhile, surprise, surprise, we missed the visa lottery again. After 2 weeks, with a pounding heart, we got the news. Approved! I burst into tears on the phone and cried all day. What a relief, finally! The hardest part was behind us. But not so fast. instead of a stress-free and typically formal operation of granting the new immigration status and sending the green card within the next 3 to 6 months, the so-called adjustment of status, due to new administration regulations, I had to attend an interview at the immigration office in San Francisco and essentially defend the application. I had to demonstrate the continuation of the activity described in the application. The queues were getting longer because it was a new regulation. I was waiting for my turn, but there was no sign or word about the interview date. In the meantime, we applied for a travel parole, a pass for international traveling. Kuba's startup was bought by a company from Israel, and he had to fly abroad. Using the same documents, we flew to Poland in February 2018. Upon returning to the USA, border officers examined our temporary pass several times from every angle. We were taken for additional screening, which, although stressful, fortunately went without a hitch. Finally, in June 2018, we received a letter. Our interview at the immigration office was scheduled for July 2018. We got anxious again. Prepared with a binder full of new evidence, I showed up with Kuba for the interview. Fortunately, it went smoothly. I had to skillfully and specifically answer questions about current and new achievements. The officer kept a few copies of new documents for himself. He said everything was okay and that formal confirmation would arrive within 2 days. The cards would follow in about 2 weeks. And there they came! Approval appeared in the system and the cards arrived by courier about a week later. This was the moment we had fought for over 6 long years. It felt strange. Was it really not a dream? Had we really made it? There was immense joy, but also gigantic exhaustion. I didn't know if I could handle another year. We sat on the couch, trying to summarize this incredibly bumpy road, but everything blended into one. Those years were filled not only with visa struggles, but also with business matters dictated by the visas, and so much more. Phew! To say the least. To celebrate, we went to New York, and from there, as proud green card holders, we flew to South Africa for business meetings. After returning, we went to Lake Tahoe, followed by a week-long road trip through California. We were so happy, but it was still hard to process the traumatic journey we had just been through. So now, do you understand why I'll never take "it's not possible" for an answer? Life can surprise you. Don't give up on your dreams. Fight for them and do everything your heart and intuition tell you to do. One day, you'll see. It's worth it. Los Angeles, December 4th, 2024. We finally are citizens. Our journey to this goal lasted 12 years. It seems unbelievable, yet it's finally behind us. We always believed that the blood, sweat, and tears and the negative bank balance would pay off one day. It was the hardest investment we could have made in our future, our life, and now in the life of our 3-year-old daughter. Today, we're grateful to our past selves for never giving up and for always choosing to move forward, no matter how hard it got. And to you, dear listener, if you find yourself standing at a similar crossroads, we have your back. Your journey will be worth it too. If you want to skip the whole drama I had to go through and leverage mine and our whole community experience, apply to join America Unlocked. We will review your profile, and if it's a match, invite you to a free 20-minute discovery call to talk about your qualifications and our program. Thank you for listening, stay strong, and don't hesitate to reach out.